All right, y'all, we're back. Welcome to another episode of Politically Incorrect. It's a good thing that I'm recording this episode later than I had originally planned, because what I originally planned was to just purge. I was going to purge some hate. I was going to start a monthly purging of the hate, or just adding to the hate list. But cooler heads have prevailed, and I no longer have that hate. And y'all also got the episode that was recorded earlier this week, me and Jeff. So, I mean, I don't really want to. I went down an entire rabbit hole, and obviously this was all stemming from Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark in the Women's National Championship. I've been thinking about this, and I've decided I want to go in a different direction, because I noticed something. Obviously, Angel Reese has gained a lot of attention and shine. This is, some would say, her 15 seconds of fame, or her moment in the sun. And she's kind of running with it. They're giving her the baton, letting her, get her shit off. Now, what I'm seeing, though, is the following that she is building and has. Because typically, I mean, you really got to do some wild shit. You got to do some wild shit. Like, she has 1.4 million followers on Instagram. I'm like, oh, okay. Now, obviously, we understand. Well, let's just address the elephant in the room. Yes, niggas do objectify women. So yes, they do have, a strong following. A lot of the times, it's, probably guys objectifying. But then again, they're following you for a reason. You're putting out certain content. So I mean, two people are playing this game. It's not just a one-sided dance of objectification. There's women out there, there's athletes out there that aren't objectifying themselves, and they still have strong followings because they're women. I mean, at the end of the day, like, women are gonna cultivate the following quick. And it had me think, though, of what she could do, I hope she is doing, with that following and the opportunity that's open to women athletes that isn't necessarily extended the exact same way for men. Now, the men, they do have, at your bigger programs, the big time stuff, they have the deals where they're able to take care of a majority of the people. But all in all, and obviously, I'm sure that goes for women as well, because the men have more money to work with. But the men, they're kind of getting their money up front in college. Obviously, at the next level, they're able to make the money that they make at the next level. But in college, it's really just, unless you're just the cream of the crop, you're that five star, you're that number one recruit, you're the quarterback, you're a star on the team. Like, night, the second string long snapper is not getting that. Like, he's not seeing that, but he's just as important, just as much a part of the team. Your fourth, fifth string receiver, or fourth X or whatever, they're not getting that. They're a part of the team. They play probably on special teams, but like, what they do matters and everything. Like, you know what I'm saying? There's just more people involved. So the money is not spread out. It's very, very much 1% everybody else. But I'm looking at the women's game, and I'm looking at the following, because like I just said, Angel Reese has 1.4 million followers on Instagram. I was looking at a couple of men. Shedeur Sanders, he does have 1 million followers. Now, what does Shedeur Sanders have to do to get that million followers? I mean, well, he just had to be the son of the greatest corner of all time, NFL Hall of Famer, and possibly one of the most charismatic people that have ever walked the face of the earth. But outside of that, he did that. That's all him. I'm really not trying to take anything away from Shedeur. I'm just saying, like, look what you kind of have to be in the male equivalent. Don't believe me yet? Caleb Williams, early Heisman front runner. Projected to be the number one pick in the draft, starting quarterback for the University of Southern California. Now, trust me, I again, he's getting his money up front. His NIL, I'm sure, is nice. Even though what's noted is, either way, it's nice, especially for a 20-year-old or a 19-year-old. He has, where's he at? A starting quarterback for USC in Los Angeles. 183,000 followers. If that's what he has, what do you think his tight end has? What do you think the left guard has? What do you think the outside linebacker has? You see where I'm going with here yet? Yeah, okay, let me keep going. So I started with Angel Reese. She's the highest that I found, and I'm just talking about women's college basketball. But I did actually see the in women's gymnastics, like the most followers of college athletes, like women are dominating that. Why aren't they monetizing that? That's what I'm thinking. Let's see, who else is here? Paige Bueckers. Paige Bueckers, who is what I was told is the best women's college basketball player. She just been hurt. So like in my mind, from what they sold me originally, like all this stuff, just this is kind of like when Jordan was out, you know what I'm saying? When Jordan like retired, was playing baseball, made Space Jam and everything. Like this is what like this like 2 3 years of or 2 years of women's college basketball has been sold to me as. Because I mean they was going crazy for Paige, but since she's been gone, like people not really like they act like she don't exist anymore. I don't know, but Paige Bueckers, Connecticut, she got 1 million followers. So she's really good at basketball. She's 1 million followers. I told you what Shedeur Sanders had to do to get 1 million followers. Anyway, Haley Van Lilith, who is apparently in the transfer portal, she is has 711,000 followers. Point guard at Louisville. Caitlin Clark, who's supposed to be, you know, like the best player that we've ever seen in women's college basketball, 619,000 followers. Her center, the center that goes, because like you can understand, well, these girls are all like, look at where they are, look at them, look at what they do. But I would say to somewhat combat that, women are a bit more communitarian than men. So I mean, I would think that you know, and there's also less people on the team. Like if she was able to work something out where she's able to get taken care of, I think she would take care of the team in a nice way, or women are more inclined to take care of their teammates than men. I'll say it that way. Let's see. The center, though, the center at Iowa, she's decent. I don't know if she'll be playing at the next level. And on the scale of objectification, I mean everybody's scale is different. I don't think she's benefiting as much as people like Kaiser Gondrzek in the past. You know, I don't think that she's killing it in that regard. Well, she has 39,000 followers. So, I mean, and then Zia Cook, I don't even know who she plays for. She got 252,000 followers. And like all of these are kind of blowing my mind because I'm looking at the quarterbacks. I'm looking at the top dogs. I'm looking at, like the football equivalent, which we all like, you know, football is king here, you know, or at least that's what I mean. They sold, even though they're trying to get rid of that. But I mean, hey, we're still killing it, which is why I'm still blown away that Messi is getting offered the money that like I really had a moment to like have to self-reflect on like niggas really like soccer like outside of here, like there's people there like there's people on this planet that don't understand that football's the shit. Like don't understand. Like I mean, like y'all love America's everything, but like yeah, that's where the connection's just. I don't know. But football was even going. I'm not gonna go on that tangent. But football was even live in Germany. But anyway, like I like what the NFL's doing. Like anyway. C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, Caleb Williams, Shedeur Sanders, Stetson Bennett, all quarterbacks. All quarterbacks, Bryce Young and CJ Stroud are both about to be in the NFL. They're like obviously their following is going to build pretty strong towards here at the end of the month. But they both have let you can put them both together and they still have less than half the following that Angel Reese has at this moment. Less than half the following that Paige Bueckers has at this moment. Like, and these are Heisman candidates, some of the best quarterbacks in the past 3 4 years, and this is as high as they could get. 200 something thousand each, or over 250,000, or 250,000. Caleb Williams, I told you, 183. Stetson Bennett had won back-to-back national championships. He has 168,000 followers. Back-to-back championships. 168,000 followers. Every woman, like Paige, Haley, Caitlin, Angel. If I knew more of the big names in women's college basketball, I'm sure I could see like, oh wow, yeah, they have exponentially more than them too. Like for example, Frank Harris, shout out UTSA, that's my quarterback, 11,600. Now again, men do get their money up front. I men get their money up front, but I kind of begs the question to me. It makes me think. I'm just like, okay, would I rather? But and like the money up front for the quarterbacks is what definitely skews the scale. I don't know what you could compare it to in basketball. I guess we'll see where Bronny's sitting at a $7.2 million NIL, but he has multiple deals spread out throughout everything. But would you rather have, let's just call it, let's just say you're one of the best cream of the crop. You're that guy coming out of high school. You got 4 years. You're going to the best school, whatever sport. And you get, let's just say, $5 million. Like, you can, throughout all your NIL deals and everything during your entire four or five years there, you will leave there having made $5 million. Or would you rather 1.4 million followers and take exponentially less, like something that's like more like livable, especially for a college student who's also still on scholarship? Let's say we go 70,000, because I know the UT offensive line, I forgot what the company is, but the UT offensive line has an NIL deal where all of their offensive linemen get 40,000. And they still have the opportunity to still market themselves to get even more. But as an offensive lineman, it's going to be like pretty difficult to garner those deals. Don't believe me? Olasegun Olawatami, center, University of Michigan. They were in the playoffs last year, one of the best teams in the country. He has 10.4 thousand followers. But if you were able, and obviously everybody has the opportunity to build the followings. Like, I'm not saying that, oh, well, men aren't able to do that. Yes, men are able to, but women have a clear advantage. I think it's time that women start capitalizing on that advantage. I don't know what the disconnect is. I don't know what's, because they've been had their cash apps and their bios forever. Like, if I'm Angel Reese, I have 1.4 million followers. If I can get 10% of my followers to buy something from me that's $10. If I can get 140,000 people, I know, that's a lot. But 1.4 million followers is also a fucking lot. I'm just saying. If I can get 10% of them to buy something that's $10, isn't that's 1.4, right? I don't know. I don't remember. But obviously there's, you know, the cost of having to get it done and everything like that. Regardless, if you ended up with $1 of that, that's $140,000 that you made. Make another product. Host another event. Do XYZ. Like, I don't understand how the NIL has not ended the wage gap, at least in college. Because obviously women don't have the opportunity. Well, in basketball, it's the opportunity is just not there yet. Will it ever get there? In my honest opinion, no. But I do have, you know, I don't want to speak just on the problems today. I mean, like I said, I thought about it. Had this been early in the week, like I had planned to do, I probably would have still been shitting on Angel Reese. I've since don't really care too much anymore. I have a solution. I believe I have a solution. Because it never really made sense to me that the WNBA season started so soon after we had seen the women, the NCAA. It never really made sense to me because, like, I'm like, well, okay, that's an extremely quick turnaround. Like, no other sport really does that. So they kind of already laid a foundation that I think that they should build upon. I think they should consider doing two-way deals for college players. And this is something that I'm talking about that's exclusive for basketball. And obviously have limitations on it, just like they have limitations on it in the NBA. Because the seasons don't coincide. Like, they like go together perfectly. Like, it can be done. But I'm not having them play. Oh, well, they're supposed to be going to school. Yes, I know. Sure, whatever. We believe that. Okay, well, actually, they kind of have to. But the school is also the most important times for is the moment with this little vacuum of time that we're in where they can capitalize the most. Because at the next level, as of right now, there's incentive for women to get postgraduate degrees that play sports. There's an incentive. And then once you leave, well, you got a postgraduate degree, so you know that's cool. I mean, you can work from there. I think they should allow two-way deals. I think after your sophomore year, because right now, I also sorry, apparently you're not eligible to be drafted in the WNBA until you're 22 years old. That's crazy. That's insane to me. Well, I mean, I guess it made sense back in the day when you're trying to build up the league because you're like, cool, we get four years of free promo and training and building these women up and everything. But sorry, it's been 30 years. Newsflash, ain't really worked. I think because apparently, since people are giving Angel this cop out of, oh, what she did was good for the game. Like, oh, this is great. Like, this is gonna take it to the next level. Like, look, everybody's talking about it. Like, yeah, I'm like, hey, I'm talking about it right now. I'm not watching none of the games. But this is something that could have possibly have tricked me. Like, yeah, I'm not watching none of that shit next year. I'm not even gonna act like I give a fuck. Like, I might watch just as much as I did this year when it gets to the Final Four. Like, that's when I might tune in, you know? Okay, that's not true. I did actually watch like two or three games throughout the year. But that's not the point. That's basketball reasons. Anyway, they're trying to sell this Caitlin Clark Angel Reese rivalry. They're trying to, some people are even trying to make it as big as Magic and Larry. Like I believe like they don't like that was nothing. But I mean, if you're gonna try to sell that story, I mean, look, even I will accept it because I do believe Caitlin has no emotions. She is a robot. Like I do believe that she has the same mentality as Kobe. She has been in the gym since that game ended. Like she's probably taking 10,000 shots a day and like sell that story. But she's not old enough to get drafted yet. I think if we were able to see, let's say the two-way deal would allow them to play 10 to 15 games in the WNBA season. That's still the summer. So if they're not playing in the WNBA, which we're continuing to build upon the star that we saw them not too long ago in the Final Four, like if you want to sell that rivalry, if you want to sell, if you're gonna, you know, play that shit off and try to make it like that's the reason. I would love to see Caitlin and Angel playing against each other in 3 weeks because the WNBA starts in like early May, right? So I would love to see them like training and getting ready and playing and all that. And obviously the money wouldn't be anything crazy because the money's not anything crazy right now in the WNBA. And you can own their rights. You can trade them. You can do whatever with them. You're watching them develop while they're in college. They're, you know, with the team. Like I think it's a win-win because I would like to believe that, you know, the life, the I guess the work, like the equipment, maybe the facilities, the mindset, the lifestyle, the talent of people that you're around. I would like to believe that if these women spent more time with professionals, that it would carry over and they would over time become even better. So if you gave them 10 to 15, like the exact same ideology or I don't know what the fuck I was trying to say. The same, I guess, ideology that there is with the two-way deals now, because the guys are in the G League for the most part and just see the college as their G League. Fuck it. Yeah, fuck it. Make college their G League. Make college their G League. The seasons already coincide. You can play 10 to 15 games. It's in the summer. I don't see the downside. It's more opportunity for you to market yourself because those games are going to be on national television. Y'all are already killing it, fucking. Building followings. Like I would love to see him. Oh my goodness, like Haley Van Lilith, like she was at Louisville or no for South Carolina. What's her name? Aaliyah Boston. And like they say she's supposed to be the number one pick. Cool. Well, she didn't get to win a national championship. Oh damn! The first game of her WNBA career just so happens to be against the team Caitlin Clark is on. Granted, they're still gonna treat her as a rookie, like they're not gonna just cater to her just because she's here now. She has this big spotlight, so like she might play 4 minutes in that game. But guess what just happened? More people watched that fucking game. Probably won't do it again. Maybe they will do it again because they maybe will get to see a little bit of Caitlin here and there. And then it's if she does show out, or well, I won't say show out, but if she performs well, then everybody's gonna be like, damn, you saw what she was doing against college or in the WNBA? She's about to average 40 in college. And let's just say maybe she does get a little bit better. Like I'm just saying, like I think the seasons just line up perfectly. And it's again, we're not throwing her into playing 30, 40, 50 minutes. Like, this is still the WNBA season. Like, hey, I watched a little bit last year. I was tricked. I was hoodwinked. I was bamboozled. When Dejounte and Kaiser got drafted, I watched a couple of games. They didn't play much. I was very confused. I didn't understand it. I was just like, they were both high draft picks. Like, why aren't you getting your draft picks out there? WNBA, they go by a different code. All right? So, whatever. You can trick people into watching this by putting them on the floor. Because those, hey, as much as they want to cap about those fucking 9.9 million people that watched that final game, WNBA ratings are still like maxing out at like 120K. Like they not gonna be in front of this many people ever again unless they change something. What they got going on ain't been working, man. Ain't been working. I think two-way deals. I think two-way deals. I would be interested to see Caitlin Clark sooner rather than later. Because by the time she is old enough and able to actually play and everything, like, all right, cool. We don't care anymore. Like, we've seen, like, hey, I'm 29. I've seen Simone Augustus. I've seen Candace Parker. I've seen Diana Taurasi. I've seen Breanna Stewart. I've seen Maya Moore. I've seen Angel McCautry. Like, they were all sold as, oh, they're gonna. I seen Kelsey Plum. She's, oh my God. Sabrina Ionescu. Oh my God. What's the other girl? I think that was Sabrina that plays with, I think, New York. Like, they were all the greatest we have ever seen. So, like, hey, guess what? Like, I'm a hey, nah. Caitlin's gonna have to come in and average like 40. But here's the problem. When she comes in at 22 years old, she's the bottom of the barrel rookie. Like that's the mentality. They don't like they not really like that. They not really I don't understand it. They not really like Charlie Collier last year, I think last year she did or yeah, I think last year she did a little better, but the year before that, like I was told that she was her. So I was trying to accidentally catch some games and I'm just like, these stats ain't her. Like, what is we doing? Y'all like y'all gotta the WNBA needs to sacrifice integrity to get to where they need to be. I'm just gonna say it. I'm just gonna say that. You can infer from that what you will. I'm not even trying to be like hell right now. I'm just saying you can infer from that what you will. Anyway, the past episode, if you listened in order, tried to talk to Jeff about Mr. Beast, and I've just been, like I said, just on a fucking rabbit hole. It just blows my mind. It's this guy's amazing. And then just really thinking about how I might have to talk about that another day, but how he's multiplying that community's economy with every video. It's truly genius. I love that guy. I love that guy. Pause, pause, pause. But like, I love watching that kid. He's a fucking kid. Well, he's not a kid, but I love that shit. I'm glad that I love finding out about shit that's awesome later so that I can just like OD on it. You know what I'm saying? So I really went down the rabbit hole. And just so, of course, my luck, the second I go down this rabbit hole and actually start, because I've been hearing about it from other places, but the second I start actually looking at some of his content, it just so happens one of his, I guess, close friends or somebody that he does a video with is, I guess, now non-binary. And he's taking hormones and painting his nails and stuff. And it's weird because the videos I'm watching are like 4, 5, 6 years old. So like it's like they're just like kids. But they haven't done anything recently. I guess at least Chris hasn't been in anything recently, but I'm curious to see what direction they go from there. Like what direction it goes from there. 'Cause that a lot of people don't. There's beauty in the fantasy with Mr. Beast. There's beauty in the fantasy. A lot of people want to say that a lot of things are staged or not real and all that. And I like living in the lie right now. Because it's easier. It's easier to be cynical. It's easier to be cynical. Wow, it's easier to be cynical. We got him. But anyway, so their friend Chris, if he's gonna be out there, because the audience to this is kids. Like it's well, yeah, mostly kids. Because he's always talking about Fortnite, and I'm just like, yeah, I don't know what you're talking about, man. Like I don't, we don't, I yeah, I guess I'm not your audience, but this shit is fucking just, it's amazing content. It's amazing. If he's still going to be all up in the videos the same way that he was before, and their audience is mostly kids, well, then how, you know, we're kind of on that slippery slope where, you know, we're doing that one thing. We're doing that one thing that they're doing in the schools. Yeah, so curious to see how that goes. It sucks that whenever I find something that I like that they decide to do this with it. Now, before we end, I do want to let y'all know about the update on the system. Last month was a good. Last month was a bad month. Last month was a bad month. Last month we only won 63%. Last month we won 63%, and on the year we're at 70. No. Oh, fuck. Fine. I'll grab the spiral. All right, and we're back. I got the spiral. So, for the month of March, we won 66% of our bets, and on the year, we are sitting at 73%. So, cool. There's just certain things about that. Winning at 73% though, with the system. We gotta just trust the system. Sometimes you get happy, you know. Sometimes you do, you know. Sometimes you. Sometimes you divvy. All right, I'm going through hell. Sometimes you gotta zig when everyone else is zags. All right, that's all I'm saying. So I have added, and I have somewhere. I need to find that. When I did all that, because I went through the system that I started. I guess I'll do that. I'll do that next episode. The system that I started the season with in the NBA, and then comparing that with what we ended up with. Actually, I think I already did that. Oh yeah, I did. I did hear that. That's what those numbers mean. Okay, future me figured it out. On the old system where we were just betting on the Bucks to win every game, the Pacers to lose every game, the Spurs to lose every game, the Nuggets to win every game, the Warriors to win every game, the Clippers to win every game, and the Jazz to lose every game, if we would have stuck with that, we would have ended the year 61%. Well, they do have one more game today, but whatever. I did that 2 or 3 days ago, so 60%. We'll just round. You give 2 or 3 degrees or 2 or 3% of error. Yeah, margin error. We'll give 2 or 3% for a margin error. But 60%. If you remember, if you've been listening along, then obviously, like, the number that we're always shooting for is over 54% because, you know, well, honestly, 51%. But the real shit, like, when real shit is like over 54. And then what we changed the system to for the NBA, with the Nuggets winning, the Spurs losing, the Rockets losing, Boston winning, Charlotte losing, Detroit losing, Bucks winning, and Brooklyn winning until Brooklyn pretty much dismantled. We eliminated Brooklyn once Brooklyn dismantled. So from January on, when I was doing that, that system is 72%. So I think a great season in the NBA. And we have since transitioned over into what might end up being my favorite of them all. Baseball. Yes, boys, it is baseball season. Am I a baseball fan? Not at all. Most I know about baseball goes back since Backyard Baseball, Mr. 3000, Barry Bonds, and the New York Yankees. And for some reason, the Red Sox. Well, I guess not for some reason, because the Yankees. So, you know, I know the very, very, very surface level casual shit. You know what I mean? With that being said, I polled people that actually give a fuck about baseball. And I also looked into, you know, what the Vegas odds were at the beginning of the year. So what I have decided to come up with is to win every day. Obviously, that's not going to happen, but you're going to win more than you lose. That's the point. Da, 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 da. The Dodgers, the Astros, the Braves, the Yankees, the Mets, and the Padres. And I will not tell you anything else as to why, because that's basically it. I don't know about their bullpen. I don't know who plays third base. I don't know who's the outfielder. I don't know what league they're in. Do they have a DH? Does the DH do more than does DH? I have no idea. What's interleague? Who gives a fuck? And to lose, we got the Oakland Athletics, the Nationals, the Pirates, the Reds, the Royals, and the Rockies. Again, I did poll people that actually give a fuck about baseball, because just because I don't doesn't mean I don't know people that do. And it was a fair sample size, and they gave me a list of quite a few teams, and I went through a process of elimination on my own, so, you know, there was a little work put into it, but as far as, you know, giving the X's and O's of it, can't do it, won't do it, don't give a fuck. Tampa Bay Rays, though. Shout out to the Tampa Bay Rays. They've been doing their thing. As a matter of fact, I haven't officially added the Rays, but the Rays are a the Rays have been performing very, very well, very well, very, very, very well. And I already told you about hockey. Hockey's been doing pretty well. So yeah, I'm kind of reached degenerate territory. The only things in my system currently are baseball and hockey. Granted, we do have the NBA playoffs coming up, and that is when things tend to ramp up. Holy fuck. Am I doing the Daily Show this year? Fuck. Stay tuned. Distracted. Some more details about the two-way thing, because you might be wondering, or you might be like, well, how are you going to be a professional basketball player and play in college? Like, you can't do that. And like, yes, that's true, but we just going to mend the rules for women. And it's not too crazy, because we kind of seen it before. Larry Bird wasn't in the same draft class as Magic Johnson, but they were both rookies at the same time. Like, Larry Bird was actually a member of the Celtics when he was with the Indiana State Sycamores. He just didn't sign. He didn't take that. I got to look into that more, but he just didn't go. But he wasn't. Him and Magic Johnson were not in the same draft class. They both played their first NBA season the same year. So the last game they both played was college. How did Larry get drafted and still be in college? I'm just saying, it can happen. It's women's basketball. We can do it. We can allow it. It's 10 to 15. It's not like they're going to be in there making $1.4 million. They're still going to be making more if they're monetizing their followings. They're going to be making exponentially more in college. Just honestly, it's free marketing for the WNBA, riding off the coattails of the NCAA. Because you want to know something? Paige's star was just as bright as Caitlin's right now. Now, I'm not saying her game, but her star was just as bright as Kelsey Plum's star was just as bright. We watched maybe her first 1, 2, 3 games in the WNBA. Didn't care anymore. I'm sorry. That's just what it is. I would maybe care, and maybe we would see more actual quote-unquote rookies playing if they had a little bit more experience with that level, given the two-way deals. If they're able to get drafted at 20 instead of 22, so just lowering it to 20 after their sophomore or junior year, whatever, they're able to get drafted, but still go back to school, but still like play because, and this is, again, the schedule's like this for a reason. It's like this for a reason. Like, WNBA, it's time to spend a little money in marketing. I know that y'all have been operating in the hole for quite some time and using the free labor that you're getting from the NCAA, but if they can come to an agreement, I think the two-way deals will be very, very, very beneficial to the sport of women's basketball. That's all. I'm just trying to find a solution. Will I ever watch? Probably not. There was a timeline. There was a space and time slotted for me to be a devout women's basketball fan. And they took that from me. They took that from me. So here we are. Man, I'm so hyped for the playoffs. I forgot. And I know I'm pretty sure I didn't talk about the playoffs in that episode. Spoiler alert, this is being recorded on a different day. But, you know, I'm just going to tag it on to the end of this episode because this shouldn't be long. This shouldn't be anything. But that Drake song came out the other day. And, you know, obviously, got to talk about it. That was Not what I was expecting. If that was the snippet that came out a couple of weeks ago, which I think it was, I didn't hear it, but people were saying he used something from Kim Kardashian, so I'm assuming that's the same song. Now I understand why I didn't really hear much about it. Yeah, that was not that, but actually, that tells me that Drake's audience is more male than I think they want us to believe. Because I would think bitches are loving the shit that he's saying. Like, everything Drake said in that song was fucking everything women say that they want in a relationship, but in practice, it just doesn't work. But Drake was literally talking to them. I was like, okay, so yeah, that's when you got to remember Drake is just like multi-talented. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's just able to, like, do both. That'd be like if Steph, like, I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say that. That'd be. I don't want to put that on Steph. Somebody else. Somebody else. Somebody else. Somebody else. Who can I put that? Jamal Murray. That's like if that's like if Jamal Murray decided that during the summers or whenever they get eliminated from the playoffs, so during the summers, he is non-binary and wants to compete with the women in the WNBA. So what if he just goes and dominates in the WNBA and then he's still sometimes a fringe all-star in the NBA? That's Drake. Holy shit, he's also Canadian. Dog, I do this. I do this. Shout out to Jamal Murray. This was his shining moment. But yeah, no, that shit was awful. That shit was awful. I yeah. It made me reflect and realize that because typically, like I said before, plenty of times, especially on the Spotify only episodes, a lot of songs that I like or listen to, I don't really be paying attention to what they be saying. Like it just kind of it. I just like the way it sounds. I just like how I feel when it's on, you know what I mean? Like I'm not most of the time not listening to what they're saying. If they just so have, because I mean, you can catch me with a song within the first like 3 seconds, like I'm hooked, I'm in, I'm like, oh, cool, we got them. But whenever I am able to actually understand or pay attention to the lyrics of some songs, I start to realize like, ah, this was not good to be listening to for numbers of reasons, but. This one here, for some reason, I immediately just came to, and I'm just like, yeah, I came to the lyrics, and I was like, yeah, no, what the fuck is this nigga talking about, dog? But, I think his demographic is younger for this song. I think this song, I think he's shooting for that. But that's weird, though, because he's using Kim Kardashian as the hook. Like, that's what they threw out there as the bait, like, last week or a couple of weeks ago. And, like, I think Kylie and Kendall are more popular to the younger demographic than Kim. But that was the hook. He got us. I don't know what I expected from the song, but yeah, that's definitely trying to indoctrinate some younger kids and some shit. That they don't really need much indoctrination into. But like, I mean, let me see. Can I pull this up real quick? I'm not gonna do all that. But there's just some of the things that. Oh yeah, I can't. Yeah, we don't even need to go through the song. The things he was saying on there is just fucking wild, just fucking wild. Like Drake and you, and this is up there with Drake fucking renting out Dodger Stadium. Like the more he does this bullshit, the more these women that listen to it start to believe that like, yeah, nah, that's the shit I want. That's the life that I want. This is what my man need to do, bitch. Oh my God. And Drake, I hate this nigga dog. I hate this nigga dog. It's crazy. I'm starting to flip on Drake. I'm starting to flip. He keeps dropping fire though. Like I mean, he's still in my top. Well, you'll hear that shit in Spotify, but this gotta change. I'm glad that this was just a throwaway. This ain't a part of anything real. So I guess I understand what you're trying to do. I guess I see what you're doing, Jamal Murray. So all right, Drake's Jamal Murray. That's the takeaway. Appreciate y'all for listening to this episode. I haven't decided if I'm gonna do the Daily Show just yet. I know y'all just heard me say that, but like I said, I recorded that on what, Sunday, and today's Tuesday, and hopefully you're hearing this Tuesday night. I'm gonna get into talking some playoffs. I haven't decided if I'm gonna go daily yet. We should be having the episode with Jeff this week, and I am making the promise to you, the listeners, I will have that episode up no later than Thursday. No later than Thursday. And you might even get some tomorrow. Let's see what goes on with the plan. Let's see. I don't know. I don't know.